restrictions as you enter and exit, and while you're in the building, hand sanitizing, social distancing, and face covering if you can. I know there are some who have health reasons for not wearing them, but if you can, please remember that as well. The various exits from the building following the services, do remember these as well. Could I mention Wednesday at 8 p.m. is our missionary prayer meeting, when we focus on the work in Uganda, and a video will be shown, the work Mr. and Mrs. Andrew Foster are involved in there. I know they have a little one as well now, so do remember, please, that family out in Uganda. They're home at present, but they'll not be with us in person, but we'll be showing the video of the work, and then you have opportunity to give as you leave the service on Wednesday evening. There are baskets for the offerings at the exits. Remember, our building fund and general offerings, there'll be one basket and all those collections and building fund envelopes for that. But then the separate baskets marked missionary offering for the work in Australia. A few weeks ago we had a video online of our brother Reverend Philip Gardner's support in the land of the need for support there in the land of Australia. So remember that, please. That's this Wednesday night, the special offering for Uganda, but the other one was passed there, and there's a basket for that Australian work as you leave tonight. Next Lord's Day, 11:30 and 7, will be our Christmas services. Morning service of Brother James Bennison will speak to the boys and girls, and I will bring a closing word. Then the evening time will be our Christmas program. We normally have a lot of people taking part in that, but it'll be limited this year, but we'll have people taking part, children, young people, and we'll have a Christmas program, and we depend a lot on Heather for that. I know she'll come up trumps again, and we trust the Lord will help her with that and others who are helping her. So remember next Sunday evening for that, and do try to join us. Now next Sunday there'll be a special retiring offerings for the Northern Ireland Children's Hospice. A very, very important and valuable work. We support this every year, so if you want to give to that, you can put it in next Sunday in the retiring offering, be marked for that. And then we plan to hold communion again at the beginning of the year. We'll announce more details about that, but it will be done safely in that you will bring your own bread for communion. There will be a little receptacle you'll receive from next Sunday, and the following Sunday, either of those Sundays, you can receive it, and you'll bring your own wine as well. So we trust you with all of that, and it means that we won't be handling anything. So it will be done safely, and it will be held prior to the morning service on the first Sunday of January. It will be held at 10:45, so the building will be open from 10:30, and we'll meet for a short time around the table, and then others who are coming in can come in from about 10 past 11 or so. So that's the way we're organising it, but we'll mention it again over the next few weeks. We want to get back around the Lord's table. This is very important part of the work of the Lord, so please remember that we are trying to do our best with all of these things and make preparation for that. So please remember that as well. Could I mention the latest Vision magazines available, and do please pick them up. They're out there with your name on it. And also, could you see Robert about next year's subscription of £6 for the year, not a lot of money. So if you want to give that, see your brother Robert, make sure your name's down for next year's Vision magazine. Let the Bible Speak magazine, it's in the stands or at the exits as you go. 100 Days of Lockdown, written by Reverend David Park, priced £10 each. There's just a sum of these left, see our brother James. It's towards the Indian Orphan Project. That's all proceeds go toward that. And then the Missionary Council 2021 prayer calendars are available again. Please pick up a copy as you leave the exits, as you go from the services. I think those are all the announcements. Just to mention the LTBS calendars as well. Robert has 6 left. If you're looking for calendars for a gift for someone, please see Robert as quickly as possible. £3 each for those. Let us come to the worship of the Lord tonight, and to the singing of hymn 88 in our book. It'll be on the screen. We'll keep seated as we sing, and then we will stand after we sing this for the prayer. Mm-hmm. come to prayer tonight, I would ask you to especially pray for the family of Raymond Semple, the deacon in our Macrofell church. It was taken through COVID in the past week. Raymond is the owner of Miola Prestige Engineering, and big businessman, but a faithful man of God, treasurer in our Macrofell church. He's taken by COVID this week. Remember his wife, this family, your prayers. I'd like you to remember also an elder in our John Knox church, his wife, Margaret, is very seriously ill at present, hospital. Please do remember our sister Margaret in your prayers, that God will intervene. There are so many tonight. Our hearts go out to them in love, that the Lord, if it be his will, graciously touch and heal and give comfort in the midst of sorrow. Let us pray. Father, tonight we do pray for these families. We do remember Raymond's wife tonight. We thank that Raymond's answered that call to glory. But there are those left behind. And we pray, Father, for comfort for Raymond's family. Think of his testimony left behind. We pray for Margaret tonight. Oh God, we pray that thou would step in, if it is your holy will, to heal Margaret. Remember Robert and the boys tonight. Comfort them and help them. And there are so many others, oh God, in our own congregation, those waiting for results even this week. Give them grace and comfort. We pray for others, O God, who are not able to be with us. We think of Carl and Maureen especially. Lord, how we miss them in the house of God. Their seats are empty. We pray for others of our elderly folk too, Mrs. Venison and the like, and many others who feel unable to come at present because of fear and because they're shielding or circumstances, they cannot be here. Lord, we pray that thou wouldst comfort them and help them, and that thou wilt be with them. Be with us as we meet together tonight. We rejoice that we're able to meet together in your house. We rejoice that we're able to come again to minister the word behind this sacred desk and to have the congregation gathered here tonight. And Lord, we pray for each one, each individual, that thou wilt meet every need tonight, that thou wilt encourage every heart. Those, O God, tonight who are distressed, we pray that you'll lift them out of that distress. We pray for others who have sicknesses and maybe illnesses in their family. We pray that you'll draw near to answer prayer in all of these situations. Thou art the God who art able to heal, and we pray that thou wilt heal, if it be your will, at this time. Answer prayer, we pray. Draw near, O God, with thy presence tonight. Fill this house with thy glory. As we think about the coming King, the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray that our hearts will be thrilled tonight as we contemplate the coming of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, and that he may become King of hearts tonight. Those here not saved, we pray that tonight they will get saved and know the grace of God and truth. Bless right our congregations. Encourage and strengthen and help each one. Meet every need, we pray, in Jesus' name. And for God's eternal glory. Pray for our land too. We pray for our government. Those in authority, give them wisdom. As we thought this morning, we're to pray for them. We're to submit even to them as regard to these restrictions that are upon us. And Lord, we pray that you'll help us not to think we know better, that we are some consultants ourselves, that we can have the answer because thou alone hast the answer. And we pray that you'll use the vaccine as it rolls out and all other means that thou dost permit by way of medicine, or thou canst directly intervene thyself. We leave it in thy hands, in Jesus' name, and for God's eternal glory. Amen. We're turning to our Bibles tonight to read in Luke's Gospel, the Gospel according to Luke, and we're reading from this portion of God's Word tonight. Luke chapter 1, and we're reading from the opening part of this chapter. Verse 5 we'll break in at, and then we'll move down the chapter, and then we'll break in at another part of the chapter. We're not going to read all of this chapter. It's a very long chapter, but it's a great chapter. But we'll break in and read some verses and then some more later on in the chapter. Chapter 1, verse 5. There was in the days of Herod the king of Judea a certain priest named Zacharias of the course of Abiah, and his wife was of the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. And they were both righteous before God, walking in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord blameless. And they had no child, because Elizabeth was barren. And they were both now well stricken in years. Came to pass that while they executed the priest's office before God in the order of his course, according to the custom of the priest's office, his lot was to burn incense when he went into the temple of the Lord. And the whole multitude of the people were praying without at the time of incense. There appeared unto him an angel of the Lord, standing on the right side of the altar of incense. And when Zacharias saw him, he was troubled, and fear fell upon him. But the angel said unto him, Fear not, Zacharias, for thy prayer is heard, and thy wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son, and thou shalt call his name John. And thou shalt have joy and gladness, and many shall rejoice at his birth. For he shall be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink. And he shall be filled with the Holy Ghost, even from his mother's womb. And many of the children of Israel shall he turn to the Lord their God. And he shall go before him in the spirit and power of Elias, to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. And Zacharias said unto the angel, Whereby shall I know this? For I am an old man, and my wife well stricken in years. The angel answering said unto him, I am Gabriel, and stand in the presence of God, and am sent to speak unto thee, and to show thee these glad tidings. Behold, thou shalt be dumb, and not able to speak, until the day that these things shall be performed, because thou believest not my words, which shall be fulfilled in their season. And the people waited for Zacharias, and marveled that he tarried so long in the temple. When he came out, he could not speak unto them. They perceived that he had seen a vision in the temple, for he beckoned unto them and remained speechless. And then we move on down the chapter here to a verse further down in verse 59. Now that John has been born, John the Baptist, verse 59, it came to pass, on the eighth day they came to circumcise the child. They called him Zacharias, after the name of his father. And his mother answered and said, Not so, he shall be called John. They said unto her, There is none of thy kindred that is called by this name. They made signs to his father, how he would have him called. They asked for a writing table and wrote, saying, His name is John. And they marveled all. And his mouth was open. That's the mouth of Zacharias. His mouth was opened immediately, and his tongue loosed. And he spake and praised God. And fear came on all them that dwelt around about them. And all these sayings were noised abroad throughout all the hill country of Judea. And all they that heard them laid them up in their hearts, saying, What manner of child shall this be? And the hand of the Lord was with him. Ending our reading at verse 66, we know that God will bless to us the reading of his inspired, inerrant, infallible word. We'll turn to another hymn tonight. It's number 85, as we would normally see it, but it's on the screen there. Before you thou didst leave thy throne and thy kingly crown, thou didst, when thou camest to earth for me, but in Bethlehem's home was there found no room for thy holy nativity. O come to my heart, Lord Jesus, there is room in my heart for thee. Remain seated as we sing, and then after that we'll stand for the prayer before the preaching of the word. gracious Father, we come now to the preaching of Thy Word. I am trusting Thee for power. Thine shall never fail. Words that Thou Thyself hast given me must and shall prevail. We ask in Jesus' name and for God's eternal glory. Amen. I want to turn your thoughts tonight to this portion of Scripture. And what a wonderful portion it is, relating to the biblical record concerning the incarnation of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the biblical record concerning the birth and coming into the world of the Lord Jesus is most interesting, intriguing, and instructive. It sets before us the great plan and purpose of God in it all, in the bringing into the world of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Bible gives us details which are most edifying and encouraging as we examine them. In regard to our consideration of the four Gospels of these events, Luke gives us the most detail, setting before us what took place before, at the time, and after the birth of our Lord Jesus Christ. Luke chapters 1 and 2 make for the most interesting and illuminating reading as we look at all of this story concerning the birth of Christ. We cannot read the first chapters of Luke without being thrilled at what is being spoken of. There's a sense of wonder and amazement and rejoicing too at what God was pleased to do. Chapter 1 of Luke contains considerable detail of the events prior to the Savior's birth. And that's what I want to focus upon in the closing moments of our service tonight. How the Lord worked to bring into the world one who came to prepare the way for the Lord Jesus Christ, namely John the Baptist, the one who came to prepare the way for Christ. And that's my subject tonight in the closing part of this service. There are five things that I want to draw your attention to in these verses of Scripture. First of all, I want you to notice the people involved here. If you look at verse 5 and the following verses, which we read earlier in our service, we become acquainted with two people, a husband and wife, Zacharias and Elizabeth. As it is recorded in 1 Chronicles 24, King David divided the priesthood of Israel into 24 courses. And each course was to serve 2 weeks at a time annually in the temple and then give place to the next course. So each took their turn, as it were, in regard to their course and their responsibility in relation to the temple. And the course of Abia, which is mentioned here, was the eighth. It was the eighth course. Zacharias belonged to this particular one. And this day he was, the Scripture tells us here, he was burning incense at the sacred altar, the golden altar, in the holy place. We read of him and his wife in verse 6. The fact that they were blameless doesn't, of course, mean that they were sinless. For there is, according to Scripture, not a just man upon earth that doeth good and sinneth not. Ecclesiastes 7:20 teaches us. But blameless here refers to their motives. Their motives were right. You see, Zacharias and Elizabeth were seeking to obey God and to walk with God in their lives. And how important it is for all of us
to seek to obey God. As we're speaking this morning about submissiveness in relation to those in power in our country and being in subjection, then of course we have a responsibility to the Lord to be submissive to Him. And these people were just so. And they were walking with God. They were of good character before the Lord. The Bible tells us in verse 7 they were childless. The years went by, they still had no offspring. And no doubt by now they had given up any thoughts that they might be parents of a child. But look at verses 8 to 9. While Zacharias was executing the priest's office before God, as he stood before the altar and sprinkled the incense upon the fire that was ever burning there, and the multitude of people that were gathered outside were engaged in prayer. And here we have a lovely picture, dear friends, of the fellowship of prayer. Zacharias here might really speak of our blessed Lord, who hath entered into the holiest above, ever living to make intercession for us, while we, His people, join in prayer down here. Isn't that a wonderful picture of the fellowship of prayer? And as Zacharias was praying, the people were lifting up their hearts to God, suddenly the silence of four centuries was broken. Look at verse 11 of Luke chapter 1. There appeared unto him, unto Zacharias, that is, an angel of the Lord standing on the right side of the altar of incense. What a startling thing. No living Israelite had ever seen an angel. Oh, they had read of angelic appearances years and years gone by, but they never thought that they would see an angel. That it was ever likely to happen to them. And as Zacharias looked upon this glorious being, we are told in verse 12, he was troubled and fear fell upon him. You see, it was the customary thought among the Jews that it meant death for a person either to look upon God or to look upon any heavenly representative. You remember in the Old Testament, when angels appeared to various people, they were filled with dread. And they thought it meant for them they were about to die. And so we have here, in this portion of God's Word, these people who were in this situation, Zacharias and Elizabeth. But yet, we discover here, it was not only the people, but there are also the proclamation that is included here. Look at verses 13 to 15 of the portion of Scripture. The angel said unto him, Fear not, Zacharias, for thy prayer is heard, and thy wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son, and thou shalt call his name John. And thou shalt have joy and gladness, and many shall rejoice at his birth, for he shall be great in the sight of the Lord, shall drink neither wine nor strong drink, and he shall be filled with the Holy Ghost even from his mother's womb. And these words that were spoken quieted the heart of Zacharias. They brought, first of all, peace to the troubled heart of this man. The words there in verse 13 are, Fear not. This seems to have been a favored expression on the lips of great Gabriel, for later down this chapter, that very same angel is said to have appeared to Mary. Verse 30. Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And then even the message to the shepherds. In chapter 2 of Luke, in verse 10, contains those words, Fear not. You see, my friend, the gospel message is intended to take away all fear and to fill the heart with assurance. The knowledge of God's deep and abiding interest in His people. God is saying to you tonight, something that would bring peace to your troubled heart. You've come to this service tonight, troubled. You're listening to God's Word tonight, without assurance. And God comes with His word tonight to you, as He did to His servant of old, and says, "Fear not." It's a word to bring peace to your heart tonight. Troubled soul in this meeting. Fearful soul tonight. God says, "Fear not." Not only do we see the peace here, but we see the promise in these words in verse 13. What a wonderful promise that his wife Elizabeth would bear a son. Something joyful, something delightful. A cause for great gladness and rejoicing. What a wonderful thing for a heavenly messenger to give the name for a child. We have several incidents like that in Scripture. For example, God told Abraham that he was to call his son Isaac. And here the angel named the child that he said would be born. He would be called John. It simply means the grace of Jehovah. Or as we read there in John chapter 1, there was a man sent from God whose name was John. And the son who was to be born was to be the means of bringing joy and gladness to many people. But first of all, to his own parents. Look at verses 14 and 15. "And thou shalt have joy and gladness, and many shall rejoice at his birth. For he shall be great in the sight of the Lord, shall drink neither wine nor strong drink, and he shall be filled with the Holy Ghost, even from his mother's womb." You remember what the Lord said of him later, that of those that were born of woman, there was not a greater than John the Baptist. And yet he that is least in the kingdom of God is greater than he. He was a man who was destined for greatness, because he was to prepare the way for the coming King. He was to prepare the way for the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. He was to baptize the King, the Lord Jesus Christ. He was to present the King to Israel. And he himself was to go home to God as a result of the wicked Herod's cruelty. And therefore the very least who now receive Christ and enter into the kingdom of God occupies a greater position than John the Baptist himself. He said, "The King is coming." And we can say tonight, thank God He has come. And we are linked up with Him, those of us who are saved tonight. We are joined to the King. We are joined to the Lord Jesus Christ. He is our Savior. He is the King of our lives tonight. And so we see in this portion, in the third place, the preparation that is incorporated here. Look at verse 15. "Shall be great in the sight of the Lord. Shall drink neither wine nor strong drink." You see, John was to be a Nazarite. Long years before, when God gave the law, He said that if any in Israel were to be especially devoted to the Lord, they were to keep away from anything that came from the vine tree. The vine was the symbol of joy. And these men gave up the joys of earth in order that they might be wholly devoted to the Lord. There was among the Nazarites a separation unto God. Among the other regulations upon them, according to the law, they were not to come to a dead body. They were to grow long hair, indicating the place of dependence, until the days of their being Nazarites were fulfilled. Samson, you remember, in the book of Judges, was to be a Nazarite from his birth. He was to be wholly devoted to the service of the Lord from the very beginning. And so it was with John the Baptist. None more than John. A Nazarite unto God. Separated unto God. Singularly marked out and empowered by the Holy Spirit. Even from the moment he came into the world. The Bible tells us here in verses 15 to 16, God prepared him from his earliest days for the great mission that he came to fulfill. And I think you will often find when the Lord selects a man for a special work, he puts his hand upon him very early in his life, impresses upon him early that he is to be a messenger to a lost world. How many of God's servants have been such? They've had a great ministry through the years. They were called as young people, children of godly parents in many cases. And from their earliest days were acquainted with the things of God. Young as they were, they began proclaiming the unsearchable riches of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so it was with John, set apart unto God, set apart for this mission that God had called him to perform. Notice the assurance in verse 16, and many of the children of Israel shall he turn to the Lord their God. His coming had been foretold in the book of Isaiah. The Holy Spirit definitely spoke of his coming into the world in the 40th chapter of the book of Isaiah, verses 3 to 5. The voice of him that crieth in the wilderness. Here's John the Baptist spoken of. Prepare ye the way of the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be exalted. Every mountain and hill shall be made low. The crooked shall be made straight, and the rough places plain. And here's a prophecy that was uttered some 700 years before John's birth concerning the coming into the world of the one who was to be the preparer of the Savior's way. Look there. At the final book of the New Old Testament, final book of the Old Testament, in Malachi chapter 3, and verse 1, behold, something important is going to be spoken here. The word behold is used. Behold, I will send my messenger, and he shall prepare the way before me. John the Baptist, the one who would prepare the way before the Lord Jesus Christ, the messenger of God. And this was prophetic of the ministry of John the Baptist. It was not exactly Elijah himself coming back from heaven to earth, but John would come with the energy and the power of Elijah. Referring again to Luke chapter 1 and the verses 16 to 17. First chapter of Luke again, in verses 16 to 17. Any of the children of Israel shall he turn to the Lord? Listen, verse 17. He shall go before him in the spirit and power of Elias to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. They emphasize the fact that John was the messenger of Jehovah. And the reference here is definitely to the prophecy that was given in Malachi, the final book of the Old Testament. Later on, the apostles came to the Lord Jesus. As they spoke of his second coming, they asked, why say the scribes that Elias must first come? And the Lord answered them, Elias has indeed come. And they have done unto him whatsoever they listed. And then he explained that John came in the spirit and in the power of Elijah. And he shall go to call the people of Israel back to the testimony of the Word of God. Back to that law which had already been committed to their fathers. What a mighty ministry was given to John the Baptist. How powerfully he performed it. What a powerful preacher he was. What a fearless preacher he was. Even to the scribes and Pharisees, the religious leaders of his day. He was fearless and he was forthright in his denunciation of them. In his proclamation of the Word of God. He was one who prepared the way for Christ. He said, the latchet of Christ's shoes, I'm not worthy to unloose. He goes before me. The Lord Jesus Christ What a mighty ministry in making the way for the coming Christ. The fourth thing I would have you understand tonight is the perplexity that was incessant here. Look at verse 18 of chapter 1 of Luke. And Zacharias said unto the angel, "Whereby shall I know this? For I am an old man, my wife well stricken in years." How perplexed Zacharias was with this announcement that his wife was to have a son. See how human he was. He looked at the angel doubtfully. He forgot that he had prayed all these years. He forgot that God can be depended upon to answer the prayer of faith. You see his question there in verse 18. "Whereby shall I know this?" In other words, he's saying, "What sign will be given to me that this promise will be fulfilled? It's almost too good to believe. I can scarcely think that my prayer is really going to be heard. What sign would there be that God is going to do this for me?" This is in the mind. This is in the question of Zacharias here. The angel seemed to be clearly taken back by Zacharias' lack of faith. Is God not often grieved with our unbelief? Is God not often grieved by our lack of faith? He gives us such great and precious promises. We come to Him in prayer. We spread our needs before Him. He gives us His Word. And we find ourselves asking, how is this going to happen? How is it going to happen? Hath He not spoken and shall He not do it, my friend? Are you praying for your family? Has God given you a promise for your family? That He might save them? Hath God spoken, shall He not do it? Let's take God at His word. Oh, the necessity of faith in the living God of heaven and in His word. We do not need some other sign in order to make God's word more certain of fulfillment. Look at verse 19. "The angels answering said unto him, I am Gabriel that stand in the presence of God, am sent to speak unto thee, to show thee these glad tidings." See the angel's response. "I am the one who has come with this message to you." Gabriel, one who has stood in God's presence. "I am sent to speak to thee and to show thee these glad tidings." That ought to have been enough. I am come directly as Jehovah's messenger. I will give you a sign perhaps that you will not enjoy, but I will give you a sign, Zacharias. Seeing you are not prepared to rest solely upon the word of God, look at verse 20. "Behold, thou shalt be dumb and not able to speak until the day that these things shall be performed, because thou believest not my words, which shall be fulfilled in their season." Unbelief shut Zacharias' mouth. The last words from his mouth before the promise was fulfilled were these, "Whereby shall I know?" The first words that came from his lips after the promise was fulfilled were words of praise and thanksgiving, as we later notice. You see, my friend, unbelief had made Zacharias dumb, but faith opened his mouth. It opened his lips in praise to God. What has unbelief done to you, my friend? Unbelief has caused many, perhaps even some, in this service tonight to stay in their sin. God says He offers salvation to you. And yet your unbelief has taken hold upon your heart. You're unwilling to believe His word, to step out in His promise. Oh, that tonight you might be given that gift of saving faith. That you might believe the word of the living God. And before you leave this church tonight, you might be saved. And trust in Christ, your own and personal Savior. Fifth thing I want you to notice here tonight, the final thing is the performance that was immense here. Look at verse 57 and following verses some of which we have read tonight, the second part of the reading. John the Baptist was born. God fulfilled His word. And remember this, dear friends, that God is always true to His word. The Old Testament prophecy came to pass. The words of Gabriel, the angel of God, the messenger of Jehovah, came to pass. And all these months, Zacharias has been dumb. 9 long months when he couldn't speak. And so the child is born. You see the child on the 8th day. He's brought for circumcision. And they called him after the name of his father Zacharias. See verse 59. But see Elizabeth's objection, verse 60. His mother answered and said, "Not so. He shall be called John." No John in the family line. That's what they were going on. But the angel had told Zacharias at the beginning he was to be called John. Remember verse 13? And so Zacharias was consulted. He brought him. He couldn't speak all these months. And here he comes. They made signs to him how he would have him called. And he asked for a writing table, verse 63, and wrote, saying, "His name is John." He was already named. He was already given this name. He confirmed it. They were all amazed. He had been named already by the angel long before. The moment that Zacharias ratified the word of the angel, his mouth was opened, his tongue was loosed, and he spoke and glorified God. Look at the words there. Verse 64, "His mouth was opened immediately, his tongue loosed, and he spake and praised God." Unbelief made him dumb. Faith enabled him to speak and praise God. How unbelief has caused, my friend, you to be in the state that you're in tonight. Unable to open your mouth to praise the name of God. To confess Christ. To take His name upon your lips. But thank God that by faith tonight you can take His name upon your lips. A saving faith in Christ. To know the grace of God and truth. God had worked mightily here, you see, my friends. Fear came upon all those that dwelt around. Verse 65, the news spread abroad. What manner of child shall this be? What manner of child shall this be? Verse 66. A mighty work had been done. One was born, John, who would prepare the way for the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And what a mighty ministry God gave to John. Preaching the word of God and fulfilling all that God had said. The Bible says there significantly in verse 66, "And the hand of the Lord was with him." John, throughout his life, in his ministry, in the work that he was engaged in, had upon him the power of the Holy Spirit of God. He had in his life the presence of God. In all that he did, his motto was, John 3:30, "He must increase, but I must decrease." You see, John prepared the way before Christ, but Christ was prepared before him. Christ was the preeminent one as far as John was concerned. And my friend, I'm not asking you to look at John the Baptist tonight. I'm not asking you to look at the one who prepared the way for Christ. What a vital ministry he had. But I'm asking you tonight to look to Christ. The one whom He presented. The one whom He prepared. The one whom He prepared the way for. Will you look to Christ tonight? before you leave this service tonight, that Jesus Christ may get His rightful place in your heart, that you might know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, the one who would prepare the way for the coming of Jesus. Oh, may the Lord tonight write His holy and precious word upon our hearts. Let us pray. Father in heaven, indelibly write the truth of Thy word upon the hearts of every listener. May there be those tonight who will come to Christ and take Him as their Savior. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Returning in our hymn books, well, on the screen, I always say that, hymn books, but it's just habit. Number 84, it will be on the screen. Jesus, my Savior, to Bethlehem came, born in a manger, to sorrow and shame. Oh, it was wonderful. Blessed be His name, seeking for me. Number 84, as it would be in your hymn book, it will be on the screen. We'll keep our seats, and then we'll stand for the closing prayer. Thank you, folks, for coming tonight. We appreciate your attendance at the house of God in these times. If God has spoken to you tonight, if you're not saved, do please make your need known to me, or call me, but or speak at a distance. I can keep a social distance and speak to you about these things tonight. Don't leave without the Savior. Come to the Lord tonight. Father, may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ,
the love of God our Father, and the fellowship and communion of the Holy Spirit rest, remain, and abide with you all, now and forevermore. Amen. You may be seated.